your Locked On Raiders, your daily podcast on the Las Vegas Raiders. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network.
Just win.
Your team
just
every
win.
Day.
Just win.
The autumn wind is a pirate, blustering in from sea. With a rollicking song, he sweeps along, swaggering boisterously. His face is weather-beaten. He wears a hooded sash, with a silver hat about his head, and a bristling black mustache. He growls as he storms the country, a villain big and bold. And the trees all shake and quiver and quake as he robs them of their gold. The autumn wind is a raider, pillaging just for fun. He'll knock you round and upside down and laugh when he's conquered and won.
What up, Raider Nation? Welcome into Monday's edition of the Locked On Raiders podcast. Welcome to another week. That's right, we're kicking off another week, the last week in March, beginning April as well. We're about to do it, man. We're trying to do the damn thing. Counting down to the beginning of the NFL draft, which is April 23rd, and it'll be upon us before we know it. We still are not 100% clear of exactly how the NFL draft is going to take place. The only thing that we know for sure, Roger Goodell has said that the NFL draft will take place April 23rd. Through 25th. So still kind of waiting on the details on exactly how the NFL plans on doing that. But yeah, it's going to happen. The show will go on as scheduled. I'll tell you, man, had a very, very busy weekend. Even though there's no sports, I've done a lot of interviews. I mean, even starting on Friday night, did an interview with my guy Joe Arrigo from Franchise Sports up in Las Vegas. Did an interview with him just kind of out of nowhere. He shot me a text. Q, you want to hop on? Yeah, no doubt. Just hopped on. Then I did an interview on Sunday with Locked On Ducks, covering the Oregon Ducks. And it's funny because I thought of my man Jordan from Oregon when I was doing the interview. I don't know if Jordan listens to the Locked On Ducks show, but I should be on it today, matter of fact. Because, yeah, I did that interview talking all things Marcus Mariota, so that was pretty cool. What else did I do, man? I just been super busy all weekend long. Did like two or three different interviews. It was crazy, man. Just kept on getting all these different requests. And that's a good thing, man. You got to stay as busy as possible in these crazy times. Hopefully everyone's been really, really safe doing what you got to do. Do your part to make sure that everyone around you is safe, your family, you, just everyone, man. Hopefully we're getting closer to the end of this thing, but of course none of us could say that, as a matter of fact, that we are or not, because we just really don't know. But in the meantime, in between time, man, we're still here talking Raiders football, talking NFL draft, talking just whatever you want to talk. That's what we're here to do. That's just what we're going to do on the daily here on the Locked On Raiders podcast. So coming up in today's show, segment number three, I got your calls, your texts, a couple tweets straight off that Locked On Raider podcast voicemail line. Of course, if you want to hit me on Twitter, you can at your boy Q254. Again, that's at your boy Q254. And then the Locked On Raider podcast voicemail line is 707-654-4693. You could always hit that up and you can shoot a call and leave a voicemail message, or you can leave a text, you know, shoot a text. And so that's sometimes even easier. And I got a lot of them because I didn't do one every single day last week. So I actually have a few extras. So I'm going to have to try to get through those quick, fast, and in a hurry. I'll have to try to, catch up on those sometime this week. And I will. I'm not going to just, you know, overboard and do a whole show of calls and texts and tweets. But, you know, I'm definitely going to try to get text and call heavy just so I can kind of catch up, because I got a lot of good stuff that I definitely want to get to. In segment number two, I did an interview on ESPN Central Texas on Friday. Myself, Steven Simcox, and Ward Whites. That's the show. That's the show now, moving forward. And we were on there, and we talked to Sigmund Bloom from footballguys.com. Again, Sigmund Bloom from footballguys.com. Just talked all things NFL draft. And I really wanted to bring this one to the table because it had some guys on there. We were talking about some guys that you don't hear every single day in every draft conversation. You know, we talked about some guys from TCU. Talked about Jeff Gladney. That's a defensive back that a lot of people have their eye on as a possible first round draft pick. Talked about James Lynch from Baylor. Talked about Tua and his medicals, you know, talked about a few different things, how Cam Newton and Jameis Winston, how those guys being available, how that might change the draft at the top of the draft. You know, maybe teams decide that they want to go with a veteran instead of a rookie or whatever. So I had a good little conversation. It was only about 8 minutes, 8.5 minutes, whatever. I'm going to bring that to you in segment number two. Here in segment number one, going to give you the news and the notes of the day. Actually, it's just news and notes of the weekend that I kind of gathered around, and it really doesn't have to do with the Raiders, but it has to do with the NFL. So I'm going to bring it to you right now. Off top, I mentioned about Cam Newton and Jameis Winston being available by way of free agency right now. And it's crazy, man. As we enter this week, three former number one overall picks are available on the free agent market. Adam Schefter actually put out this tweet. I believe it was Friday evening. It's not often that a former number one overall pick is available almost 2 weeks into free agency. No less three of them available at the same time. But here we are. And when he said that, he was talking about Cam Newton, who was picked number one in 2011 by the Panthers. Jadeveon Clowney, picked number one overall in 2014 by the Texans. He was traded to Seattle last year, and he's looking for a whole lot of money, so he's available right now. And then Jameis Winston, who was number one in 2015, picked by Tampa Bay. He's available right now after the Buccaneers picked up Tom Brady in free agency. So, yeah, I mean, that's just kind of crazy to even think about that, that all three of those guys right now, starting week three of free agency, are all available. Cam Newton, Jadeveon Clowney, and Jameis Winston. And it's funny because I put a tweet saying I would love for the Raiders to pick up Jadeveon Clowney on a 1 year, just, you know, prove it deal. I know the Raiders don't have the money for that, but can you imagine that defensive line? If you add a Jadeveon Clowney, who is not a sack specialist, but just a guy who can get after everybody, the quarterback, the runners, he absolutely is a guy who causes disruption. He's kind of outpriced himself. He's put himself out in the market of a Khalil Mack and, you know, Aaron Donald and cats like that. And well, he just doesn't have the sack totals to get that kind of money. So at some point he's going to have to humble himself and take a deal that's actually more of what his stats say that he is, even though stats don't tell the truth all the time. He had injuries earlier in his career, and so that kind of derailed him as well, but he's still a hell of a player. So, man, if the Raiders had an opportunity to pick him up on a one-year cheap prove it deal, I would love to see that happen, just because you're adding another dog, a hungry dog, a guy that's out to prove himself on that defensive line. That'd be crazy, right? But still, Cam Newton, Jameis Winston, Jadeveon Clowney, all available, and they all were former number one overall picks, and not that long ago. 2011 for Cam Newton, 2014 for Clowney, and 2015 for Jameis Winston. Next up, I just wanted to tell you about some things that happened in the AFC West and some people that are staying in the AFC West and a couple of players that are leaving the AFC West. And let's talk about leaving. Right now, the Broncos, they lost Derek Wolfe. He signed a one-year deal with the Ravens worth about $3 million. With incentives, it could be a little bit more, but a nice little deal for the Ravens and Derek Wolfe. It's a lot of experience right there that the Broncos are losing and the Ravens are picking up. Even in a shortened season in 2019, he only played 12 games. He ended the season on injured reserve, but he still had 7 sacks. So clearly that's a big-time player on that Bronco defensive line. Basically, the Ravens really needed to find a guy after they lost out on defensive tackle Michael Brockers. He had a deal, and all of a sudden Friday morning, he was available. They're like, okay, we're not going to sign him, and so they didn't sign him. And then about 15 seconds later, it felt like, maybe about 5 minutes to be in real time, it felt like the Rams decided they were going to re-sign him. So Michael Brockers ended up going back to the Rams. He didn't sign it with the Ravens, and so the Ravens had to find a guy, and they did in Derek Wolfe. So that's one player that the Denver Broncos lost. They re-signed defensive lineman Shelby Harris, who used to be a Raider. One-year contract includes $2.5 million in guarantees, a max value of $3.25 million. So Shelby Harris, who played pretty well for the Broncos in 2019, returns to the team for 2020. And again, Shelby Harris was a good dude. Always liked him when he was a member of the Raiders, even though it was a short time period. Still liked the fact that he was a Raider. Anyway, he's doing his thing in Denver and is going to be back at least for another season. Wide receiver DeMarcus Robinson, he was a free agent. He decided to stick around and sign a one-year deal to remain with the Kansas City Chiefs. He's going to get about $2.3 million fully guaranteed. And, you know, this is a guy that was drafted in the fourth round of the 2016 draft by the Kansas City Chiefs. He's done well. I mean, he's not a number one, obviously. He's just another guy on that roster. But, you know, he caught 32 passes for 449 yards and 4 TDs in 2019. And if you remember, one of those TDs was in that game that was played in Oakland where the Kansas City Chiefs went on that just massive run, that major run. Matter of fact, I think he was the one that caught the, what was it, 3rd and 24. And the Chiefs ended up going and getting a 40-yard touchdown or 42-yard touchdown play. Anyway, it was just absolutely ridiculous. But he caught 3 passes in the Super Bowl also for 35 yards. Played 39 snaps. I mean, he's not a big-time player for him, but he's a player. So he's returning to Kansas City. One thing that I want to pay attention to and make sure you keep your eyes and ears open for is what the Chiefs do with Sammy Watkins. Is he going to eventually be released, or are they going to let him stick around? He's owed $13 million this year and a $21 million salary cap hit. So that's a lot of money. That's a big-time salary cap hit for Sammy Watkins. He has $7 million in dead money and $14 million in savings if they cut him pre-June 1st. And actually, it's the same post-June 1st. Some players, it's different post-June 1st, but Yeah, it's going to be the same for Sammy Watkins. So just kind of pay attention to that. See what they do. They still have him on the roster. They haven't released him. His salary is supposed to be $13 million, but the $21 million salary cap hit, I expect the Chiefs to go ahead and release him at some point, but I'm kind of surprised that they haven't already made it official, and maybe they plan on keeping him around. Who knows? Final piece of news I wanted for this segment here. I was asked multiple times last week about Deshaun Watson and the Houston Texans and if he's pissed off at Bill O'Brien for getting rid of DeAndre Hopkins and, you know, maybe he's going to be available for trade. And I said, well, hey, I talked to John McClain from the Houston Chronicle. I talk to him every Friday at 12:30, and I'm going to do that this week. So I did that on Friday. I talked to John McClain, and I asked him, I said, hey, with, you know, DeAndre Hopkins now being official in Arizona with the Cardinals, how upset are other players in the locker room, including Deshaun Watson, who's been putting out a bunch of cryptic tweets, maybe kind of showing his displeasure, any possibility that he could be traded? And this is what John McClain from the Houston Chronicle had to say.
The players are like everybody else. They don't like to trade a Hopkins. There's no reason to justify it. And so they're not happy. Watson's not happy. He took away his go-to receiver, a Clemson alum who took Watson around the campus when he was being recruited, and they don't have anybody take his place. They signed Randall Cobb, but Randall's going to be a slot receiver, which they've never been able to develop a slot receiver. And then Will Fuller and Kenny Stills are the outside receivers, and Fuller's hurt all the time. So as I'm writing a Sunday column, their eighth pick in the second round has got to be a receiver, and they got to hit a home run on that receiver. But people are mad. As far as Watson's cryptic tweets, lyrics out of Drake songs, and everybody's trying to say he wants to be traded, he's unhappy. Well, he and O'Brien have a great relationship. He's talked about that to us. He's tweeted about it, and he's upset. He's kind of, to me, like everybody else, is like somebody broke up with him. Somebody stole her, you know, boyfriend or girlfriend, and they're angry about it. But I see these nincompoops predicting that that Watson will be playing in New England 2021. Well, first of all, earth to the nincompoops, his contract runs through 2021. Then they could franchise him for 2 years. So even if he didn't sign a long-term extension, which he will, but even if he didn't, he couldn't go anywhere until after the 2023 season. So it's a moot point. And they still have quite a bit of talent. They redid their offensive line. I think David Johnson will, if he stays healthy, will flourish in this system. And he's a great receiver with a 10.3-yard average per catch in his career. But he's not replacing DeAndre Hopkins. He's replacing Carlos Hyde, who rushed for over 1,000 yards last year. So people are still infuriated at Bill O'Brien. They want him gone. They usually want him gone. He almost went 2 months without this, but since he blew the 24-point lead at Kansas City in the playoffs, things had quieted down. Now everybody wants him out again.
So there's the great John McClain right there from the Houston Chronicle. You can always follow John on Twitter, at McClain_on_NFL. He does a really good job covering the NFL and obviously covers the Houston Texans on the daily. But yeah, right there, you let it be known, or he let it be known, that no, Deshaun Watson is going nowhere. Yes, players are upset that DeAndre Hopkins is gone. The city is furious. The fans are mad. They always wanted to get Billy O out of there. They want to fire him all the time anyway. And so now, more than ever, just because of the fact that they got rid of DeAndre Hopkins. But yeah, Deshaun Watson, who's basically like the mayor of Houston, in my opinion, he's not going anywhere. I mean, they would riot. That city would absolutely riot if they moved on from Deshaun Watson. So yeah, you heard him talk about a lot of folks think that he's going to end up in New England. Not going to happen. He's not getting out of H-Town. So I thought I'd bring that to the table because, well, the question was posed to me and I said, you know what? I'm going to ask John McClain. And when John says something, I listen to it because I know he knows exactly what he's talking about. He's not throwing something up against the wall and hoping it sticks. So coming up is segment number two. Going to talk all things NFL draft. Sigmund Bloom from footballguys.com. He joined me and Stephen Simcox and my man Ward Weitz on ESPN Central Texas on Friday. And he talked all things NFL draft. And I want to get into that because it's about some guys that you don't always hear most of the conversations being about. So I think it's a pretty good NFL draft conversation. So I'm going to bring that to you next in segment number two of the Locked On Raiders podcast. Before I get into that, though, I got to tell you about homie. And I'm not talking about my homie. I'm not talking about Lil Homie, which you probably don't even know. Lil Homie's my turtle at the house. He's dope. Anyway, I'm not talking about Lil Homie. I'm talking about Homie. And if you're riding around Vegas, I talked about billboards. Well, Homie's got a bunch of billboards all around town in Vegas. They're real bright. You can't miss them. And it is all about Homes. Matter of fact, let me just cut to the chase. Right now, my friends at Homie, they're stepping up. They're offering a special promo to all Locked On Raider podcast listeners. You'll get $250 off your listing fee if you just text Raiders to 88588. That's $250 off your listing fee. Text Raiders to 88588. Now that I got your attention, let me get back to what Homie actually does. If you check out homie.com, which is their website, you can see all the great things that they do and help you do and how they can help you save thousands. If you're trying to sell your home, if you're buying any home, if you need a loan, they got you. Homie was founded with the belief that the use of modern technology and the expertise of licensed professionals is the way of real estate in the future. Their goal is to save each every customer thousands on their real estate transaction while simplifying the process. So again, for more information, definitely hit up homie.com. That is their website. For all Locked On Raider podcast listeners, you can get $250 off your listing fee. Just text Raiders to 88588. That's $250 off your listing fee. Text Raiders to 88588 for more information.
Your Locked On Raiders, your daily podcast on the Las Vegas Raiders.
Part of the Locked On Podcast Network. Your team every day.
All right, Raider Nation, here we are. Segment number two of today's Locked On Raiders podcast. Monday, March 30th, 2020. Your boy Q here. And yeah, excited about this next little interview that you're going to hear. Did it on Friday on ESPN Central Texas. Sigmund Bloom from footballguy.com. You can find him on Twitter at Sigmund Bloom. He does a really good job with all things NFL draft. And just had a little while, a little 8 to 9 minutes about picking his brain and talked about some guys that you don't always hear in all the conversations. You know, all the first round guys. Talked about some Big 12 guys. Talked about Jeff Gladney, a defensive back from TCU. Actually talked about a couple TCU guys with my guy Steven Simcox. He's actually a TCU alum. He was on and asked about a couple TCU guys. I asked about James Lynch from Baylor, the defensive tackle, that defensive end that was a defensive player of the year for Baylor. Asked about him. Talked about the injuries of Tua and how that could affect his stock and how confident a team should be if to draft him that high. And just some other subjects like that. It was, I think, a pretty good conversation. Like I said, just kind of peeling back the curtain on the NFL draft from Sigmund Bloom's point of view. So let's go ahead and jump into this interview. The first question I asked was just about Cam Newton, also Jameis Winston, Andy Dalton, how those guys are all available and how can that impact. Does he think that that's going to impact the top of the draft coming up in April?
I don't think they'll change it at all. I think that they are probably not going to be signed until maybe closer to the season, and who knows exactly when that's going to begin, because I don't think that New England, for instance, is going to bring in a quarterback who doesn't know their system. They've got Jared Stidham and Brian Hoyer. I think that Anthony Lynn is comfortable with Tyrod Taylor. Now, the Chargers could draft a quarterback. So could the Patriots. Those are the two teams that are unsettled at quarterback right now, and I think that these are quarterbacks that are going to be looking for an injury, or perhaps they'll want to sign somewhere where there's an opportunity down the line in 2021, like, say, Pittsburgh, because the no off-season nature of the season is going to change teams' decision-making.
Sigmund, a guy in our backyard that's been climbing draft boards the past couple months is Denzel Mims. Where does he kind of fall in your ranking of this deep wide receiver class?
He's going to be an early second or maybe even a late first-round pick. He seems like he would be an excellent fit with Green Bay. You know, they've got, I think, the number 30 pick. Maybe they could move up for him. Right around that same point in the draft that Justin Jefferson from LSU will go off the board. He can win in the air. He's got great hands. He's excellent after the catch. And I think that he would fit with Aaron Rodgers very well and won't be on the board long after that if the Packers don't take him.
We were talking about the Miami Dolphins and the fact that they've been linked to Tua for the longest. In your opinion, how difficult would it be for you to pull the trigger on Tua, knowing the injury history that he's had, even though he's been medically cleared?
Right, and that's the thing where teams want to get their own doctor, get their doctor's hands on these players and understand really what they're dealing with medically and perform their own examination. So that could provide some hesitation. You know, there's still some more time for this to resolve itself before the draft and for them to double check. I do think we're going to see a quarterback or two drop in the first round. I don't know that it'll be Tua Tagovailoa, but maybe Justin Herbert or Jordan Love, because of the way these teams have filled out their quarterback needs, including Carolina picking up Teddy Bridgewater, Indianapolis picking up Phillip Rivers and trading out of the number 13 pick. But I do think you'll still see Tua go in the top six.
Another Big 12 prospect segment is TCU corner Jeff Gladney. What do you make of his game and where could you see him going?
Yeah, Gladney's part of that group that's going to go after Jeffrey Okuda, who's the clear number one. He could go in the first round. I think that he's a player that you're going to use certainly for his production and how he's been a stalwart starter. Now, he did have surgery on his knee after the combine, so that could cause him to fall into the second day. But I think that he's the kind of player that a team may look at as an instant starter. And, you know, he's a competitive run defender. He's physical. He can play press man. He's very athletic. He just might drop a little bit because of the uncertainty around his knee.
Talking NFL draft right now with Sigmund Bloom from footballguys.com. Sticking with TCU, is it amazing to you that they have so many guys that could potentially go in the top three rounds, but yet they weren't able to make a bowl game in 2019?
Not necessarily. You know, I grew up a fan of the Pitt Panthers, and they always seem to produce better pro players than the results, the win-loss results. You know, that can be coaching, that can be team cohesiveness. And they've been a top program for a while. And I think what we've seen, especially in terms of the draft, is there's still the Ohio States, the LSUs, but there are some programs that become better at creating pro talent even during slow times in their program.
One more TCU defensive guy to ask you about, Ross Blacklock. He's coming off that Achilles injury this past year, so only a couple years of really tape at the college level. But have you had a chance to turn his tape on, and what do you make of his game, Sigmund?
Yeah, he's just so much upside there. I mean, you look and you project him with the athleticism and the size and even some of the technique that he has. You know, he can be a two-gap player on the interior offensive line, defensive line, but he can also create some pressure. And he's more of a projection right now than a finished product, but the upside is very high, and it's a position that teams really value.
We talked about Baylor's Denzel Mims already, but James Lynch, defensive end, he was Big 12 Defensive Player of the Year, a guy that I'm very high on. His motor just does not stop. What do you think his range is? Because looking at different mock drafts, and I know they're not the gold, they're not all Bible or whatever, but I've seen him mocked as low as the fourth round, and I've even seen him lately this morning, matter of fact, mocked number 24 in the first round. I mean, what kind of range does James Lynch, in your opinion, have?
Yeah, certainly – you want to look at the connection there to the Carolina Panthers with the connection to Matt Rhule, and that's something that we still, it's hard to gauge how much he's going to put an emphasis on that, but he signed P.J. Walker and Robbie Anderson, who he coached at Temple. But he's a powerful lineman. He's not necessarily a great penetrator, but I think he's the kind of player that can free up other players to make plays. So that's why I think it's hard to pin down his draft stock, but he's going to be one of those dirty work players who can play a lot of different positions and alignments on the interior defensive line. His name won't ring out in the stat sheets, but the defensive coordinator will probably love him.
Sigmund Bloom, footballguys.com, with us here on ESPN Central Texas. And Sigmund, is there a team out there that's lurking kind of back in the draft that you might think that should shock everybody and make that big trade to move up in the draft?
Well, New England is interesting because they may see that quarterback falling, knowing that while they have Jared Stidham as a plan A for this year, he might not be the long-term plan A. So I think that's an interesting team to watch at the crossroads. Is a team, what is Bill Belichick thinking right now? When we see what they do with the first round pick and whether they take a quarterback, we might understand more how long-term his plan is.
How many franchise quarterbacks do you see in this draft?
Two? I mean, for sure, two. Now, I don't want to downplay that because Joe Burrow and Tua Tagovailoa have presented a body of work as collegiate quarterbacks that is extremely impressive, and it's not just based on tools or some idea of athleticism, arm strength, raw traits. It's how they've already integrated the mental, emotional, physical parts of their game, and they look like very advanced prospects. Justin Herbert is from Oregon, and Jordan Love from Utah State are more quarterbacks where the individual parts are greater than the sum, and it's a question of the offense they're in and the coaching they get and how they develop. Jalen Hurts, I still think, is interesting with NFL offenses more willing to embrace the running ability of a quarterback. But the two at the top, the Bengals and whoever gets to a should feel like they really have their franchise quarterback.
Final question for you, Sigmund. We were talking a couple segments ago about teams and franchises that do a really good job in the draft and seem like they're always hitting year after year after year, and I brought up the Baltimore Ravens. In your opinion, covering the NFL draft, what's a team that really stands out to you as, yeah, they're the ones that always do really, really well in the draft?
Well, one team that I'm impressed with, not so much because they hit home runs with their first-round picks, and sometimes they take questionable players with their first-round pick, but they seem to find players that fit so well for what they do as the Seattle Seahawks. And, you know, they took advantage of DK Metcalf falling last year. They continue to find defensive backs outside of the first or second round that project as starters. They have Bobby Wagner getting older, but Cody Barton looks like he's going to be a hit. So they've been able to find players that fit on their defense. And how many players are left from the Legion of Boom? Nobody really, except for Wagner and A.J. Wright. But still, this defense plays at a pretty high level, and the team remains competitive.
So that was our conversation right there with Sigmund Bloom from footballguys.com. And, again, hopefully you enjoyed that. Again, just kind of taking a look at some of the players that don't always get talked about the most when it comes up to draft conversation. So I thought when we did that interview on Friday, I was like, man, that's some good stuff. Going to have to bring that to the table. Going to have to bring that to the podcast for Monday. So I thought I would bring it to you. So hopefully you enjoyed that. I know a lot of people out there have their eyes on Jeff Gladney, and he's a heck of a defensive back. The only thing I'll say about him, he gets a little handsy, and my guy Steven, who actually is a TCU alum I mentioned before, he said that Coach Patterson, the one thing about Gary Patterson is his defensive backs, he teaches them not to turn around and locate the ball, not to look for the ball, just wait until the wide receiver's eyes get really big. Then all of a sudden you just put your hand up and try to knock the ball down, and that's fine. Basically face guarding them. That's fine in college, but face guarding them in the NFL is going to get you a penalty every single time. We already know how the Raiders get penalties all the stinking time, and so that kind of makes me a little bit nervous about a guy like Gladney, and that's something that you don't really know unless you're kind of inside the walls there at TCU or inside the walls at any of these universities. Sometimes from a distance, you can't always find that information out. So when Steven let me know that, I thought, yeah, he's good. He's handsy. Hands will get you a penalty as well, but really not locating the ball and really just kind of face guarding, that's definitely going to draw a penalty every single time. So again, hopefully you enjoyed that. I know I enjoyed bringing that to the table. Coming up in segment number three, your calls, your texts, a couple tweets straight off that Locked On Raiders podcast. Voicemail line 707-654-4693 is the number. And then, of course, on Twitter, at your boy Q 254. That's coming up in segment number three. Before I get into that, though, I want to let you know, if you've been a listener to this podcast, you've probably heard all the great advertisers working with Locked On to reach sports fans. But you may not know that Locked On Raiders is a great way for your local business to reach passionate Raider fans just like you. Unlike any other podcast, Locked On gives your local company the unique ability to reach local podcast listeners, not just any podcast listener, a Locked On podcast listener. If your company wants to connect with Raider fans and passionate Raider fans that are well-educated, then let's put your company right here on this Locked On Raiders podcast. Local fans love to support local businesses. Text the word advertising to 33777 or go to LockedOnPodcast.com/advertising and let us know who you are. We'll get our team to help your team achieve Locked On advertising success. Once again, text the word advertising to 33777 or visit LockedOnPodcast.com/advertising. Of course, we look forward to hearing from you.
Your Locked On Raiders, your daily podcast on the Las Vegas Raiders. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
All right, Raider Nation, segment number three of today's Locked On Raiders podcast. Again, Monday, March 30th, 2020. Your boy Q here. You can always find me on Twitter at your boy Q254, or you can give a call to the Locked On Raider podcast at 707-654-4693. That's the call line or the text line. Either way, whatever you're more comfortable doing, you could do. And if you want to tweet at me, you can at your boy Q254. So first up is a call from Victor in Cali. He's calling in to ask a question about Jerry Jeudy and then shouts out a couple of listeners and callers here on the Locked On Raiders podcast. Here he is, Victor in Cali.
Hey Q, Victor from Cali. Hey, it's Friday. Just heard your Friday podcast. Great podcast as always. Just a quick question. I heard somewhere last month on NFL Network, I can't remember who the guy was breaking this down, but what I heard was Jerry Jeudy is known for occasionally taking plays off. And I just wanted to ask you or Raider Nation if you guys have heard the same thing from anyone. If that's true, we we can definitely cut him off John Gruden's draft board. Anyway, that's all I got. It was good hearing Mikey the Barber. Nice meeting him at the Raider game. And one other thing, I want to shout out to T3 Raider Facts. Good job on your YouTube, bro. You listeners should give him a like and check him out. Anyway, that's all I got. Thank you.
Thank you so much for that call, my man. It is good to hear from you. And look, I haven't heard anything about Jerry Jeudy taking plays off. I can see how that happens in college, you know, especially with all the weapons that they had at Alabama. And I'm not saying that this is the reason or that this actually happened, but I know for a fact when Baylor was really, really good under Art Briles, that some of the wide receivers, if the play wasn't designed for them, they wouldn't even like go out in the route. I mean, they would basically start to run, like they go off the line of scrimmage and start to run, and then they basically just stop because the play wasn't designed for them. And I'm not saying that that's what happened at Alabama, but that's just one thing that I saw firsthand, up close and personal, when Art Briles was the head coach of Baylor. I don't know. If Jerry Jeudy is the guy who takes plays off, I'm pretty sure that Mike Mayock and John Gruden will already be aware of it by being able to watch him on film, and I'm sure that that would take them, or take him, off their big board anyway. I couldn't see that being a guy that Mike Mayock and John Gruden would sign off on, a guy that they feel like will take off plays, because that's just not Gruden or Mayock's style. So that's the good thing, is if they draft somebody, they're going to draft somebody who they think is the hardest working dude out there. Thank you so much for that call. Definitely appreciate hearing from you. Next up is a text from New Booty, Bluegrass Raider from Kentucky. He said, first time contacting the pod. Great job, Q. Keep it up. Mock draft with some trades is what he's got. This is my dream draft. This fills a lot of needs and wants and adds a lot of versatility to the squad with all these guys, especially Lynn Bowden out of Kentucky, who is extremely dangerous with the ball and both Chin and Duggar on defense. No one talks about Willie Gay, who ran a 4.45 and plays linebacker. Dude's a freak. So then he gives me his mock draft rounds 1 through 7. So, well, actually rounds 1 through 5. So here it is right here. Round 1, pick 12, Jerry Jeudy, wide receiver, Alabama. And then round number 2, pick 15. So he trades out of 19 and gets into the second round pick. He gets safety Kyle Duggar. And then at 78 in round 3, pick 14, cornerback Noah, and I've been working on his last name, Igbinoghene. Yeah. Noah Igbinoghene. I've been working on that. So, cornerback out of Auburn. He has him going to round 3, pick 14, number 78 overall. Number 80 overall, round 3, pick 16, quarterback Jalen Hurts out of Oklahoma. Number 81, round 3, pick 17, guard Logan Stenberg out of Kentucky. Then, 91, round 3, pick 27, wide receiver Lynn Bowden out of Kentucky. 119, round 4, pick 13, safety Jeremy Chin out of Southern Illinois. I'll tell you one thing, brother. Jeremy Chin ain't going to be around in round 4, pick 119. No way. Then 121, round 4, pick 15, linebacker Willie Gay Jr. out of Mississippi State. 134, round 4, pick 28, running back Zach Moss out of Utah. 159, round 5, pick 13, defensive lineman Broderick Washington out of Texas Tech. I like the players. I like the names on the draft. I just don't know if they're all going to be available in the rounds that you picked. Like I said, Jeremy Chin, round 4, he won't be there. Jalen Hurts might be there in round 3. Duggar probably be there in round 2. Are the Raiders going to trade and get into round number 2? Did they get enough for their trade at number 19? Did they get enough capital for their trade at 19 is another question that I have. So for the most part, I think the names are really good. Noah Igbinoghene, he's a good defensive back, just kind of raw. When he went to Auburn, he was a wide receiver to begin with, turned cornerback. And so, I mean, he still has a lot of growth to go. And maybe if the Raiders feel like they have that position held down, that they can go and take a chance on a talent like that or a guy who has to develop still. If they do, then I can see them making a move for him. So thank you so much for that text. Definitely appreciate you being a new booty. Next, we got a call from Border Jumper Raider. He's calling in to ask who will be the next Max Crosby, who will be the diamond in the rough for the Raiders that Mike Mayock discovers in the draft. Here he is, Border Jumper Raider.
Q, Raider Nation, it's your boy, Border Jumper Raider, getting ready to jump that border, head north up to San Diego, go to work if you want to. Stay safe, everybody. My prayers, my heart's out with you guys. Hopefully everybody stays safe. Don't get sick. If you do get sick, medicate. Take care of yourself. Okay, here's my question for Q and for Raider Nation. And it's just one question. I always like to find obscure questions. So here's my question. Ready for my question? Okay, here's my question. Just messing with you. Who will be the next Max Crosby in the draft. Now, I'm not saying defensive end, no. Who's going to be that diamond in the rough that's going to come to the Raiders? Who is it going to be? All right, Border Jumper Raider headed north, out of here.
That's a damn good question, my man. And I know off top, everyone's thinking that I'm going to say Jalen Hurts. And that makes sense. I've been pounding the table for him since back in the season. So, I mean, of course, everyone's going to say and everyone's going to think that that's going to be my answer. But I'm going to go with another guy that I'm familiar with. And he actually plays the same position that Crosby plays. And that's James Lynch, defensive end from Baylor. 6'4", 295 pounds, 13 and a half sacks and 3 forced fumbles. Plus, he won Big 12 Defensive Player of the Year in 2019. You heard Sigmund Bloom talk about him in segment number two. Or another guy that I'm very familiar with. How about this guy? And this is a name that you just have to kind of remember. And as a defensive back, I think he has a perfect name. Harrison Hand, defensive back from Temple. He also was at Baylor for a quick minute before transferring to Temple. Hand is 6', 205 pounds, and he had 3 interceptions in 2019. That's a sleeper that no one's really talking about. Probably could have him later on in the draft. Maybe, you know, late 3rd round, 4th round, whatever. But that's a guy that I'm kind of intrigued by as well. So pay attention to both James Lynch out of Baylor and Harrison Hand out of Temple. Next up, I got a text, and I'm not exactly sure who the text is from, but it says, best draft strategy. Number 12, Ruggs the third. Number 19, trade back in the first. Take Mims or Claypool, pick up a second, Jalen Hurts. This would create matchup nightmares on offense. In the third, grab cornerback Gladney, that's Jeff Gladney. Linebacker Willie Gay Jr., safety Jeremy Chinn. Not easy being a Raider fan in Boston, but that's the text message that I got. So Henry Ruggs the third at number 12, trade back from number 19, take Mims or Claypool, plus pick up a second, go get Jalen Hurts. And then in the third, grab defensive back Gladney, linebacker Willie Gay Jr., and safety Jeremy Chinn. Again, a lot of good names right there, a lot of good players, and if it shakes out like that, maybe that's how you do it. You know, not too mad at that at all. I think with the Raiders picking up what they did in free agency, it also allows them to do something like this in the draft, because they've already addressed a bunch of needs. So a real good text right there. Next up, I got a call from Raider Con Man from Lubbock, Texas, calling to respond to Mel Kiper Jr.'s mock draft 3.0. And let's just say he's not thrilled. Then he has his own suggestions for the Raiders in round one. Here he is, Raider Con Man from Lubbock, Texas.
What's up, Q? Raider Con Man here out of Lubbock, Texas. Just calling in. I finally got some time to look at Kiper's mock draft 3.0, I believe. And let me just tell you this. What is this guy smoking? I mean, what are we... C.J. Henderson at 12. Okay. Son of Dobkin Tim, great player. And then T. Higgins at 19. I mean, let's get real today, folks. What is Mel Kiper smoking during the break? I mean, he's got something at his house. What is going on here? But let me tell you this. At 12... I don't know what the Raiders playing because who really knows, but I'm going to say a great bet is one of the three receivers. We're talking about Ruggs. We're talking about Judy. We're talking about Lamb. I would love to see Lamb at 12. And then at 19, you could switch. Maybe you could go defensive back, just depending on who they like. I'm not sure who they have in mind, but yeah, I could see that there. But C.J. Henderson at 12. And T. Higgins at 19. I mean, let's get real today, folks. Okay, Raider Con Man out.
Thank you so much for that call, my man. Appreciate you. It's always good to hear you. And I think it's almost a no-brainer that the Raiders need to go and get the best wide receiver available, or the one that fits their offense the best at number 12. I mean, really, if you think that's Jerry Jeudy, if you think that's Henry Ruggs, if you think that's CeeDee Lamb, I think the Raiders are overthinking it if you don't go get one of those dudes. Now, obviously, again, like I mentioned before, the caveat is unless Isaiah Simmons or Jeffrey Okuda are available, then you go and get one of those two dudes. But if not, you go and don't overthink it. Just go get the best wide receiver available. You can go get a little squirrely, go get a defensive back, a linebacker, or a quarterback if you feel the need at number 19. But at number 12, you go get that dog. And you go get your alpha dog. Again, I mentioned Isaiah Simmons, Jeffrey Okuda. Those are the two defensive guys I wouldn't mind seeing, obviously, at 12. Or if they had to move up to go get him, fine. Not too high, but if you had to move up a little bit, cool. But I don't think either one of those guys are going to be close to the Raiders. I don't think they'll be close for their availability. So Thank you so much for that call. Appreciate you. He's calling in to have his own little Q&A with some of the Raider Nation that chimed in last week, and also shouts out a great Raiders birthday. And this is a call from last week, so it's going to sound like it's a little dated because of the birthday shout out, but it's still a really good call. So here he is, T3 Raider Facts, closing us out today.
This is T3 Raider Facts with my five quick hits of the day. Number one, Vic Raider Trucker, welcome into the fold. Keep moving those loads. Like you mentioned, I think we need to go and get that number one receiver at the 12th spot. I know it's tempting to take two receivers in round one, but the Raiders need to spread the wealth. As far as backup running backs are concerned, I want to see what's available in round three, but I'm also interested to see what Standback is going to be able to bring to the table. Number two, Obi-Wan Raider, I'm with you that we need to fill out that linebacking core in round one, possibly move up into round two and draft a quarterback of the future. Number three, Aggie Raider, I think the Raiders need to keep that third round draft capital unless they can swap one of those with some other considerations and move up into round two so they can grab that quarterback of the future, as I've already mentioned. Number four, Mel Kiper. Now, I love me some Mel Kiper, but why in the hell would he have us drafting a guy at number 12 who's suspect at tackling? Now, if you remember, what used to always distinguish those old Raider teams that were winning championships were the tough defenses that could seek out the ball and hit people. Now, if you want to get corner Jalen Johnson or maybe safety Xavier McKinney, I'm okay with either of those. Otherwise, you grab the linebacker. Number five, happy birthday to Marcus Allen. In the words of Coach Tom Flores, who also celebrated a birthday this week, he was the best all-around back I've ever seen or coached. Now, I would say that Josh Jacobs has some big shoes to fill, but I won't. Jacobs is making his own way, and as far as Marcus is concerned, I just wish things could have ended differently from the way they did. So happy birthday to number 32. All right, stay safe, Raider Nation, because COVID-19 is no joke. We'll keep at it, and until next time, just remember, passion always outlives fashion.
Thank you, T3, for that call. I appreciate the feedback, as always. And I know I said that was going to close us out and be the last one, but, you know, I feel like this one text, I got to go ahead and address this one text. It's a really, really good one. So we'll close it out with this. Hey, Q, this is Coach B from the East Bay. New booty here. Love the pod. Keep up all the great work. Wanted to talk about the top three receivers the Raiders could go after. I found some all 22 of all three guys, but not a ton, so these notes are from what I found. 1. Ruggs. Game fast, not just combine fast. Wasn't Bama's number one guy. Smaller receiver, has a harder time dealing with physical DBs, i.e. see him versus Christian Fulton from LSU. Runs lots of goes and clears and over routes. So here's his overall on Henry Ruggs. Not a fan of NFL comparisons, but he really reminds me of Brandon Cooks. He's good at running away from guys, hence the over and go routes. He'll be great with Sutton in Denver. That's why they love him. His speed can do damage at the next level. Then on to CD Lamb. Best of three at making contested catches. True X single receiver side guy, but isn't constricted by X routes only. He can run most routes. Most physical of the three. Dynamic with the ball in his hands. Overall feelings on CeeDee Lamb? I think he's the safest pick. He's going to be a consistent chain mover in the NFL. He's going to be a number one guy for whoever drafts him. Could be a rookie of the year type guy next season. Then on to Jerry Jeudy. Elite quickness and shiftiness. Best route runner of the three. Better size and length than Ruggs, but not as physical as Lamb. Benefits from having three other NFL receivers on the same team. Has exceptional spatial awareness. Can play all positions. X, Z, Zebra. He could do it all in any split, attacks, defenders, leverage very well. Overall, Jerry Jeudy, of all Bama's NFL guys, he was their number one target. Would like him to get stronger in his lower half. To me, he has the highest ceiling of the three and can be a game changer whenever he's on the football field. His elite route running and quickness with good hands puts him above the other two to me. Summary, I would love the Raiders to draft Jeudy. He's my number one guy, but wouldn't be upset to see Lamb in the silver and black either. To me, Ruggs isn't a number one guy, which is why he's perfect for Denver. I think the other two could be special in Gru's offense. Hoping Philly jumps up and grabs Ruggs before Denver does. To sum it up, I think Jeudy can put our offense over the top. Not going to even touch on the DC convo. That's for another day. Thanks, Q. I listen to the pod every day. Keep doing what you do and keep being great. P.S. Bollinger was the spot to play ball late at night as long as you hit that button. Many nights on those courts, that's for sure. No doubt about it. That was definitely the spot to play. And we used to, instead of hitting the button, we used to put a rock in there. And it would just kind of keep it all the way locked in at all times so the timer wouldn't run out. But, yeah, that was the spot, man. Two courts running all the time. That was, man, I went there and I let off a lot of steam on that damn court. So great to hear from you. Thanks for being a new booty. That was a hell of a text right there. That's why I kind of wanted to close it down with that, because there was a lot of descriptions right there. And as I was reading it, I was thinking, well, this sounds like Jerry Jeudy would be the best pick. And that's what Coach B wants as well. Jerry Jeudy, his number one guy. I think Raider Nation would be happy with either one, Jerry Jeudy or CeeDee Lamb. I think they'd be happy with Henry Ruggs too, but I think that you're right. I don't think he's a true number one guy. He wasn't the best guy on Alabama. So good stuff right there. Coach B from the East Bay, definitely appreciate you chiming in. Appreciate everyone who called in, texted in, tweeted in, do what you do. Thank you so much for the support of the Locked On Raiders podcast. This is how we get down each and every day. So now that you're done with the Locked On Raiders podcast, you can tell your smart device, if you'd like to play the most recent episode of Locked On NFL. And so until tomorrow, as always, Raider Nation, just win, baby.